There's a sign up in front of a denominational building before my daughter passes every day. Everybody from the Northside Middle School and everybody from the Northside High School pass every day. And that sign says, if Christ did not come to judge the world, then it's probably not our job either. Is that what he said? You know, you can make the Bible say anything that you want, truly. Okay? You really can. You can get God to teach you in your way and fashion to justify your lifestyle, to justify the way you think. But the whole thing that God's trying to do with that scripture is, and he said it, is it's a mirror. And if we're honest with ourselves, that Bible's not talking to you, that Bible's talking to me. Because you see, when I look in that mirror, I don't see your face, I see mine. And when you look in there, you don't see my face, you see yours. And so if we're honest with that, God's trying to change us. And He's all given us the same mirror that we look into. And even though when I see myself and you see yourself, we see differences that we have, okay? Because I'm not you, you're not me. But you know whose face we're all supposed to come to when we look in that mirror? You know whose face we're supposed to see, and that goes for every one of us. Christ. So He's all leading us in the same direction. And so I get very aggravated that all these hundreds of kids that pass by, that they look at this and they think this is what God wants them to see. Because see, this is not what God teaches. This is what the world teaches. You know how we know that? Because this is what they teach in schools. God's not in the schools anymore. He's not allowed in there. They get this from this verse right here. John 12:47. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So He did save that. And you know what? If that's all that He said, then we should probably just go on home. But you know, as well as I know, that there's more to this. This is not all that God said about this. They know it too. But you know why they put that up there? Because if the schools teach the children, then it comes from an adult point of view, which means the parents probably feel this way who don't go, and then the kids are being taught, so they got this mindset, and they go along, and God is tugging at their hearts all throughout life, all throughout the day for different things, through creation, through us, our witness we pass by, for things that they see, and then they pass by this building that says this, and they thought, well, maybe I ought to come in there. That sounds about right. That's why they put it out there. Now granted, they couldn't put the full context of the verse, but if you read that verse, the context of that statement is that the Pharisees believed in Jesus, but they would not agree with Him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That denomination, it's more important that you come in there than that they teach the truth. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to see these seats filled up? We can't do it the way the world shows us that we can do it. You know why? Because it's not us that grows the church. It's God that grows the church. All we can do is plant, water, plant the seed and water. He gives the increase. I'm not involved in the miracle life. That seed actually has to die. See, our lives have to really change in order for this church to grow. Because we have to want people to be here. We have to want our friends and family to be here. And that's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our life. Jesus gave His life on the tree, and it's going to cost us our life. And you know how it does that? We go visit people. We call people. Yeah, our time. That's the most precious thing that we have. Now, to the kids back there, man, they're just loving life. And they should. But as we get older, even beyond money, my grandmother passed away and she had money. She was well taken care of. She wanted time to spend with her family, to come by and see her. Time. That's what it's going to cost us. That's what it's going to change. What we do when we leave here, what our plans are, what my plans were Saturday, what my plans are Monday afternoon, they're going to change. They're going to change in a way that God can use me to to do something with my life and with your life. Because remember that mirror? He's looking at both of us. This is the whole verse. Now remember, it was 12:47 that we read. But if you back up to 44, then Jesus cried out. He cried out. He just didn't speak. He cried out. He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. He's talking about the Father. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Through Christ, through the message that he brings, we see the Father. You know why? Because one of the biggest things that John tells us is and shows us in the book, in the Gospel of John, is that Jesus came to show us the Father. We didn't know him before that. Jesus came to reveal him to us. Verse 46, he says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Verse 47, he says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So see, there's the verse. He didn't come to judge the world. But he's saying that if you see Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to see the Father through those words. Okay? But it goes on. It's not just talking about that. Even if you just put all that together, when he says, I did not come to judge the world, I came to save it, and drop it right there, God didn't do that. And in God's wisdom, he knew that people, because people are always the same, we're lazy, we're about ourselves. When it comes down to it, that's what he told him in Job. He says, yeah, that's fine, but skin for skin. You attack him and he'll curse you to your face. Yeah, he didn't like losing all this other stuff and his family and his wealth and his house, but he walked out of there with his life. You take something from him personally. You take a pound of flesh from him and he'll curse you to your face. Job didn't do that. Listen to verse 48. Now remember, this doctrine, this message that Christ brings, he tells you in the very beginning of this statement when he cries out to the Pharisees that it was from his Father. It wasn't his message, it wasn't his choice, it was from his Father. And he says, he who rejects me, see, you can't accept Jesus and reject this message. He who rejects me and does not receive my word. See, that's what I just said. I'm not making this stuff up. Has that which judges him. Well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus just said he didn't come to judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. See, Jesus does talk about judgment. He talks about his word judging you because of your life, what you're doing, your purpose for being here, why you do what you do, all these things. He's saying that this word that he's brought to you judges you on the last day. Verse 49, he says, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And now that his command is everlasting, therefore whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Let me ask you something. I don't know whether... They've got to see this. They've got to see that God brings dictates down for certain things that he does not want. Larry went over this morning, did a great job talking about the communion table and how God expects that to be there. All you have to do is look in Hebrews chapter 10, you'll see it. But he tells you here that he didn't come to judge the world but to save it. But the words that he speaks to them are going to judge them when they stand before him on judgment day. So guess what he's given you a chance to do right now? He's given you a chance to repent. Because if Jesus was to walk in here right now, which one of you could say, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. I stand forgiven. I stand justified in the sight of your Father. You can't judge me. Who can say that? Without the blood of Christ, nobody can say that. Not even those Old Testament saints could say that. Because it took the blood of Christ to release them from Hades, release them from paradise to be brought into the presence of God. Jesus did not come to judge the world. What he meant by that was when he stood at that nation of Israel, they were lost. And he had every right then and there to say, God sends you to hell. For what you've done with his word, for how you've acted, for who you are, God sends you to hell. I'm done with a lot of you. And I'm out of here. I just showed up to tell you that. That's what he could have done. But because Jesus did not come to condemn the world and not judge the world, he gave us a chance to repent, because he will judge the world one day. And our children, my child, other people's children in that vicinity, see that message every day as they pass by there. And they're taught that in the school, that we don't judge someone. And here's someone that's supposed to be bringing them the Word of God. They've got the name, they've got a cross on the roof, and they say that it's not the job of Christians to judge other people because Jesus didn't do it. And you know, they take that little snippet of truth. How dare them do that? They know better. Because when you read this, when he says, right after he says that he didn't come to judge the world but to save the world, he tells you how he's going to do that. The people that accept his word and do not reject his word that came from the Father, those people will be justified on judgment day, and they will judge themselves right now. You know how you judge yourself right now? You judge yourself that you were unfaithful. You judge yourself that you were a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior, and you turn towards him. That's what he's trying to do. He's giving us a chance to repent. If God would have showed up before I became a Christian, there's no justification that I had. All this time that he gave us, the Bibles that was available at the Walmart and everywhere else. But there'll be people in your life that'll tell you, you can't judge another person. And it's wrong. God himself says right there that he's going to judge with his words. What words? Anybody have a clue what words he's talking about? Yeah. It's not much Scripture. We hold it in our very hands. But the sad thing is, nothing will thin out a crowd who gather in the name of Jesus quicker than if you go to open Scripture. You know why that is? Matthew 10:34 says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace." And that word means prosperity and rest. Look, we have good days, we have bad days. We have good checks, we have bad checks. We have life. We have life. Good and bad. The Christian is not immune to getting fired. The Christian is not immune to getting sick and having to call in and losing a day's pay. It's life. Jesus is telling us he didn't come to bring the kind of peace that the physical world is looking for. See, because he says peace on earth. He says, I did not come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword. You know, one of the things that sword does, it divides. And if you let it, it will divide you from your sinful life, if you let it. Wow, how close can you get? The Bible says it'll even separate the joint and marrow from within you. I think if you think about it, the Bible says that the color of sin is crimson. If you'll let it, that word, will actually, and this is a spiritual metaphor here, that word will actually remove the color of sin from your blood, because you're now sinless. We can't do that. See, we can't. Scientists can't do that. But that word of God can make that division. And that word sword means a war, judicial punishment and controversy. So you can say that, do not think that I came to bring prosperity on earth. I did not come to bring rest, but I came to bring punishment. See, it's in stark contrast to what we read a minute ago, when this denomination wants to set up on their billboard, I did not come to judge the world. Doc, hold on a minute. Before you go in there. What? Test came back. He's dying. If he don't get this treatment, he ain't going to live another day. So the doctor walks in, and there I am sitting there. Hey, Doc, how's it going? He just can't do it to me. He just can't tell me I'm dying. He says, oh, everything's great. Everything's great. I'm glad to see you. We're waiting on the test results. I'll let you know in 2 days. Remember, I'm going to be dead in a day if I don't get that treatment, because it's vicious. Whatever I have, it's killing me. He don't tell me. He don't tell me because he don't want to hurt my feelings. He don't want to tell me because he don't want to make me mad. He don't want to tell me because he don't want to see me cry. He doesn't want to tell me because he doesn't want to see me rise up and be mad at him. We would never do that. But yet, spiritually, we have a very hard time confronting someone about their beliefs and just keep trying to say, look, if you don't want to hear me, just open Scripture and look and see. These beliefs that you have, these things that you say, they come from Scripture. But that's not what he's talking about. Just like we're talking about the rest thing, the judgment thing. You know, Luke said it a little differently. He said the same thing, but just a little bit differently. He says, do you suppose that I came to give peace? Same word, prosperity or rest. Do you suppose that I came to give rest on the earth? He said, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. He came to divide us. The Bible says that our enemies will become the members of our own household. Mother, father, son, brother. You know why? Because we have family that stands at odds with Christ. They are enemies of Christ. God has already asked us, what has God got to do with Baal? What has light got to do with darkness? He's not telling you to turn your back on your physical brother or your sister, but he's saying, you as a Christian, you need to realize that that person that you love is standing in enmity with God. You yourself are forgiven. Reach out to them. And it's going to cause a division, because if he doesn't come to me, if he doesn't hear the words that I speak coming from my Father, he's going to divide from you. You be willing to take that division, because that peace, that sword that comes, Paul said that they come to a place where they had to hand people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that they may learn not to blaspheme. God can always teach even those who are not willing to listen, because maybe at some point they will come to the knowledge of the truth. And you can share Jesus with them, and sometimes you got to break out that sword. Sometimes you got to get mean and nasty. You got to get down to it. And that word division right there means a disunion of opinion and conduct. I just can't go where you go anymore. Well, come on, man. You used to. What's the big deal? It's okay. I know you ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do that. You can just hang out with us. I can't do that anymore. I don't feel right about it. Don't you care about that? It nags at me. I don't want to do that. I love donuts. Gosh, I love donuts. But there's some days that because I've had 6 or 8 the day before, I don't want any today. I just don't want any today. It just wouldn't feel. I know that I'm killing myself. I know that I'm just packing on. I just can't do it today. Well, you did it yesterday. Well, I know, but I want to make a change. You see, we can understand that kind of analogy because we have different feelings. I feel like steak today. I feel like pizza. I don't want pizza today. I've had pizza 2 times this week, and I love pizza too. So we can understand this. It's a disunion of opinion and conduct. It changes us. That's the sword he's talking about right there. The old dust on it, and somebody writes, read me, like the car that somebody says, wash me. When you see that, you think in your mind, why don't they wash their car? Why don't we read our Bibles? And if we take the time to read our Bibles, why don't we believe what's in it? God has called us to a purpose, and we're all one day going to pass out of here. Unless he comes back. We're all headed to the same place, the grave. My daughter, my son, my wife. The things I love so much in this world will one day not be there. It's selfish. Do I take the selfish way to hope that I go first so I don't have to live without them? But then if I'm not there, who's going to take care of them? Going to be there for them. Paul had a struggle, of course, sort of the same way. He says, I don't know which to choose. To be here brought in more Christians. He brought in more people. It brought more glory to God. But to go on was much better. So he struggled. And that's the struggle that we read there. Do we want to bring controversy when we bring the Word of God? Do we want to bring a division between us and our family? No. We're not trying to judge them, but
The Word of God is going to judge them. So the Bible says that, He says, I have made you, I think it's in Ezekiel, that I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Talking about Jesus here. And He said that if you come to them, because remember, God told Jesus, the Father told Jesus, He said, this is the doctrine that you're to bring. And He didn't speak on His own authority. He says, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. And He said, if you come to them and you tell them of their sin, and they do not listen to you, you're innocent of their blood. You don't have to pound your family over the head the first time that this happens, but when you come to them over and over, there comes a point when you have to put it out there. You have to lay it on the line. But He told that watchman, He says, but if you do not go to them and you do not tell them of their sin, He says, I will hold you accountable. We have Scripture. Read it. Live it out. What if Jesus had brought a physical sword to the people? What if He'd have said, okay, when He gathered His disciples and He had all the peoples together and He come in and He brandished the sword and He stuck it in front of them and He said, today is the day of judgment. Brandish your sword and kill all who do not believe in me. That'd been pretty rough right there, don't you think? Let nobody live that does not profess me and that has not followed me. Let no one live. That's not the God we think we serve. I'm going to show you something. Luke 9:53 says, but they did not receive Him because His face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when His disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do You want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But He turned to them and rebuked them. See, they brought their sword to Jesus and they said, do You want us to take this sword out there and slay them because they don't believe in You? He was wanting to call fire down from heaven, but He was trying to bring destruction upon them. Because you don't believe in Jesus. Jesus said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. See, there was the only difference between them and the disciples at that point was they saw who Jesus was. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given at that point. They saw who Jesus was. The difference between the world and the church is the church is called out because of the covenant. We're no better than them. They're no better than us. We struggle with the same things, but we go to our God for forgiveness. They do not. We accept that sword of division that comes. They don't want it. They don't want anybody to judge them or make them feel bad about anything that they're doing. They don't like it. Do you like it? It's necessary. He says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. It wasn't His purpose to take that sword from them and say, you know what? Let's go. Let's kill everything that has the breath of life that doesn't confess me. But that day is coming. 1 Samuel 15:2-3, thus said the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. He's telling the Israelites here, he says, now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Let nothing live. When Jesus stood there and He told them, I did not come to judge the world but to save it, if He had come to judge the world, He would have brandished that sword and He would have said that exact same thing. You know how I know that? Because He's going to do that on Judgment Day. Anyone not found, written in the book of life, they will be cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, where they will be in torment day and night forever in the presence of the Lamb and His throne. Day and night. No rest. No peace. But that's not what He came to do. He came to give you a chance. And He did that by His Word. He did that by His Word that tells you, you don't do this. It's okay to do that. Be careful when you do this. These are boundaries that we learn to set up in ourselves. We don't go in our Bible and say, okay, going into Burger King, stay away from fish, good enough. That's what some people believe. They believe in the food law and they think that if they eat certain things or don't eat certain things, God is pleased with them. I work with one of them. Has a wonderful zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Every once in a while I tangle with him and he just won't listen. And he thinks his job is to be friendly to me. I'm not mean to him, but I'm just saying that's what he thinks. So he makes sure he says hi to me every morning. I wish that was it. But there's more to it than that. Jesus did bring a fire down from heaven because that day of judgment started with His Word. Luke 12:49, He says, I came to send fire on the earth. Wait a minute, I thought He didn't come to judge. He's saying here, I came to send fire on the earth. How I wish it was already kindled. That's why He said that I did not come to judge the world but to save it. Because when that fire comes, at least there will be some that will be saved. And how I wish this was over. I never thought that I would come to a place where I could take my daughter into the room, have her lay across that bed and whip her. Never thought I'd be able to do that to a little girl. I thought, there's no way, when I saw the little girl in pigtails come running, never thought. The first time that I had to discipline her harshly, okay, because, you know, it just comes to that. You wish it was just over. That's what Jesus is seeing here. He wishes that a discipline was just over. He's been through the cross. He's been through Hades. He's been through death to rise again. Revelation 12 shows us that He's already fought Satan and cast him down. The archangel Michael has cast. He's seen all of this. But the fire that He wished was kindled was the fire of judgment that is brought upon the earth, because those people that stand before Him, He did not want them to perish. But to be a just God, He has to stand by His Word. Remember, God the Father, when He walked through that flame, He said, because there is no one greater, I swear by myself, I will do it. And through His Son, He's going to accomplish that, because all judgment has been committed into the hands of the Son. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? I want to show you one way that we forget how that hammer can break. Acts 7:54-58, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They cut to the heart. We'll see that again in a minute. And they gnashed their teeth at him, talking about Stephen. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. You see, those people that put that message out on that billboard, they know better, they know that there's more, but they don't care and they don't want to hear it. And they stopped their ears and they gnashed their teeth at God. And they ran at Him with one accord. All those people sitting there agree with that message. And they hate God, because the message came from Him, not them. They gnashed their teeth at Him, and with one accord they ran at Him, and they cast Him out of the city, and they stoned Him, and the witnesses laid down their feet, a young man named Saul. You talk about zeal for God, not according to knowledge. Paul understood that statement because he okayed what was happening there. It pleased him that Stephen was killed. And later on, you saw it in his ministry where he said that I am the least of all men because I was counted worthy to serve in this manner because of what I did. And you forgave me and gave me a chance. And God is offering that chance to every person that hears His Word, every person that's willing to pick up that sword and fight. Because see, that sign should have read, Jesus has given you a chance to repent before the day He will judge by the very word that you hold in your hands. See, there's another way that people were cut to the heart. In Acts 2:32, 2:37 through 39, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'If we've killed the one that came to save us, what are we going to do?'" You done tore up Dad's car. Oh, his 37 Chevy, you done put that gouge mark down the side with your bike. He told you not to ride your bike in here. What are we going to do? 9-year-old boy can't fix a scrape going down the side of a 1937 Chevy coupe that my dad had taken off the frame and had the frame sandblasted and painted and had every piece of that car put back together and every detail painted as it was put back together so that in his mind it would be cherry. And in comes a stupid kid who he's told him repeatedly, "Don't you ride that bike in there, boy." And scratches it right down the side, gouges that metal. What are you going to do? Can you understand? There's nothing they could do. I couldn't have done anything. I didn't do that, but I almost did. Almost. I wouldn't be standing here today. I bet you money he would have killed me. Men and brethren, what shall we do? That was they had killed the one that had come to save them. What are they going to do? See, the other people were cut to the heart. Remember Jeremiah said, my word is like a hammer. And when that word came down on those people, they hated God so much that they killed Stephen. They hated Jesus so much that they crucified him. But when their hammer came down on this people's hearts, they repented. That was what they wanted to do. They wanted to make it right. What can we do? And God, in all of His mercy, remember, He did not come to judge the world. There's nothing you can do. You done hung Him on a tree. You're all doomed. That's not the message that Peter gave. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And He tells you that that's a promise from Him. And that promise wasn't just to those people, but that's to your children, the ones that will come after Me when I'm long gone. And He says it's not just to your children, not just to the Jewish nation, but to all who are far off. It's many that will answer this call. What call? The gospel message. Jesus did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Because one day, those saved will come before the whole world and will be honored in the presence of His Father one day. Because on Judgment Day, it's not the lost that are judged first. You know who it is? You're looking at Him. And so am I looking at Him. Our faithfulness will show the world their unfaithfulness. Exact same thing that's happening today. We are proving our faithfulness by their unfaithfulness. Because they reject the Word, we accept it. It will bring a division. It will bring trials. It will bring suffering. And it will bring pain. And it will bring tears. But God has promised you, in this book that you read, in this picture that you see, and you think, "I need it to shave. And if I just touch this up right here, I'll be good." And God has promised you that if you do those things, He's promised you if you do those things, He will save you and forgive you. And all the tears and all the pain that you see because you held faithful and they did not, that one day He's going to wipe those tears from your eyes. And never again will you feel that kind of pain. He's asked you to be faithful. He's asked you to be faithful to this message right here. This is the call. So what is your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation, leaning on the everlasting arms?